something great, the whites, into a little entering bowl.
Into the soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get into the soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are into the soup right here on KWSS 93.9. My rockin' radio redhead is at my side, Emily King.
Hello, hello.
How are you, my friend?
I'm great. I thought you called me Fang at first.
Fang?
How are you, my Fang? Great.
I don't think I've ever used that word.
Took me aback.
Okay. I actually have another little rockin' radio redhead next to me. And this might be the one and only shot she's got. So this is my daughter, Samantha.
Hello.
And how are you?
I am great.
You're great. You're my DD today. You're my double D.
I am. We'll see how that goes.
Well, welcome to the club. My thing.
Emily was a double D. Abby was a double D. Your dad was a double D for a long time. It's like, yeah, nobody drank. They just drove me around so I could drink. And then I'd just, like, puke out what I remembered of the evening, and then you'd write a blog for me.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was very entertaining.
I think you should do that, Sam, tonight.
Write a blog for you?
Yeah.
Why not?
About being here. Okay. You're a writer.
I'm a writer, and I love food, so.
Okay, so I think we're going to have some fun stuff. So, Emily, where exactly are we, and how did you get me here?
We're at the Cuff. In Glendale, downtown Glendale, and we didn't have a show as usual, so
struggling to help me.
So I said I'll reach out to a few people, and actually I've reached out to one, and he just happened to get back to me
and said yes.
Yes,
Thank God.
We have Chef Jesse Gallegos here today, and I know Jesse from culinary school.
So you guys went to school together at AI?
Yep, he pretty much saved my butt in a couple of classes.
Really?
Actually.
Okay, mm-hmm. We'll have to share and talk about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
this is really cool. I live in the Northwest Valley, but I don't come down to Old Town Glendale. Do they call it Old Town Glendale or just?
I don't know.
He's over there
what
going.
Is it?
No, they don't.
So it's just Glendale. And it's kind of neat. There's a lot of revitalization going on down here, and I'm sure that Jessica can share some of that stuff with us. So that's cool.
It was pretty cool driving in because I haven't, I've been out of Phoenix for about 5 years. And so coming back in and seeing this renaissance, and you guys made fun of me for using that word, huzzah, of Glendale is pretty impressive because I'm just... The only time I used to make it down here was for Glendale Glitters, and it was just, homeless people and seedy...
Homeless people and
shady
seedy
stuff going on.
Yeah, no, it's looking good. I mean, they got some new joints coming up, and we'll dive into that because we want to have more of these mom and pop joints over on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much as I love Scottsdale and PV and DC Ranch area, it's just like, God, do I really have to drive 40 minutes to go get a decent dinner that's not part of a chain?
Yeah, pass.
Pass.
And I love Scottsdale, and there is a lot of good stuff going on the east side. I'm over on the east side.
I know.
represent. But it's really fun to come back over here and just see the growth throughout the valley, the culinary
scene. I know, it's so cool.
Scene. Yeah.
I want to talk about sandwiches.
Okay.
Okay, so the reason I want to talk about sandwiches is because I feel really fat right now, and I've been eating a lot of sandwiches, even chain sandwiches, like Subways. You know, you stop and get just like a hoagie or a hero or something, and I
love bread.
Isn't that Oprah's thing right around the freaking New Year's thing?
I love bread. I can have bread every day.
Who doesn't love bread?
I love it in my mouth. I love it all around.
I know. And I love the fact that me saying I love bread just made me $17 million from Weight Watchers.
But anyway, so it just hasn't been sitting with me. So I'm sitting there and last night going, God, I feel fat. And then I heard this probiotics commercial that said, do you think you're fat? You just might be bloated.
Could be.
Could be just the bread.
That's what I tell everyone.
So I look up the history of a Subway sandwich. And, of course, they start out with the history of hoagies and then submarine sandwiches, po' boys, Dagwood, and the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was actually really pretty interesting. And I did an article at St. Patrick's Day on the Reuben. And there were so many people that were saying, I made this up, I made this up, I made this up. And it's actually from a dude who's Polish in Omaha, Nebraska, that owned a grocery store, and he and his buddies would play poker, and they'd made sandwiches every night.
Wow, you're kidding.
No.
Wow.
I know. Isn't it fascinating?
Shocking.
I'm such a nerd. But it's quite a, Sammy, you can pipe in any time. It's quite an interesting international sandwich because it's Jewish rye, Irish corned beef, Swiss cheese, German sauerkraut, and Russian dressing.
It's just a trip around East Europe.
Isn't it? I don't know if Ireland's East Europe.
That's true. It's
this is,
that
you know, I'm totally dating myself. But do you remember Dagwood and Blondie? Those cartoons?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Dagwood.
Nice, dude.
So the Dagwood sandwich really kind of started all this. Oh, look, I've got something that comes in a Moscow Mule glass. I love
Lovely.
My job. I would think that, you know, all he could make in the kitchen was a whole bunch of stuff out of the refrigerator slapped between two pieces of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all he could do. And it was his foray every night into the kitchen to make himself a big, huge sandwich. And this was in the 1920s.
There was some wacky-looking stuff in those sandwiches,
in the Dagwoods?
Yeah.
And Blondie was hot. How come Dagwood got this hot chick? Because he was just not
an
attractive
guy. And he just had the black, soulless eyes. She looked like a human, and he was like...
What, Sam?
He's a demon.
Yeah,
you think Dagwood's a demon?
Maybe.
Okay, another little interesting piece of information that I saw was in 1952... The hoagie was declared the official sandwich of Philadelphia. Okay, who finds that, like, totally wrong?
I mean, shouldn't it be, like, a Philly cheesesteak? Because
thank you. Don't you think it should be a Philly cheesesteak?
Yeah.
That's the only thing
Absolutely.
I ate when I was in Philadelphia.
Was that sandwich?
That was the only thing?
Yeah. To be fair, I was there for, like, 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so did you Makes the sense. Entire eighth grade class line up
yep.
at a Philly cheesesteak stand?
Yep.
Okay, and he was really happy.
Now,
I'm
is
sure.
it the cheese whiz? It is the cheese whiz is like the traditional, right?
Well, I don't think it's traditional dating back to the 30s because I don't think they had cheese whiz, but...
I like to think they did.
I want to know who invented cheese whiz.
Kraft. Well, yeah, some crazy guy. It's like, hey, look at these little, you know, little pieces of individual cheese. Let's go ahead and melt it down and stick it in a piece of tin and blow it out. That's what we used to use in the islands to attract the fish, was little bottles of cheese whiz. You'd go down and snorkel, and you'd squirt it out, and all these reef fish would be like, nah, nah, nah. You were thinking they were, like, high or something. It's like, really, you're going to eat this? No. How much time do I have to talk more about sandwiches?
You have a couple of minutes.
Okay, so there's one. Okay, so the poor boy, the po' boy, the poor boy, was actually developed or invented in a strike in Nolens for the drivers of, public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a big deal, and it was deadly. I mean, a couple of people died. They burnt some things down. You know, there were riots and all this kind of stuff. And this guy had a sandwich shop, and he's like, oh, those poor boys. So every night, he would let them come in the back door, and for 5 cents, he'd make them a poor boy. And generally, they were with fried oysters.
Right. We had some in Paso.
Yes,
and
that's
they were
right.
pretty friggin' good.
Okay, yep. Well, the predecessor, and this is great, and then we'll go ahead and take a break,
All
because
right.
this is freaking funny. Sammy needs to talk more, so we might have her stay on. Okay, the predecessor was the peacemaker sandwich, which in, I don't know what language, is mariatrice. So it's a loaf of French bread split and buttered and filled with fried oysters. The poetic name derives from the fact that 19th century husbands coming in late from a carouse or spree would carry one home to cushion a possible rough reception from the lady of the house. So,
wait, look, what kind of spree? Are we talking like
well,
a drinking?
We don't really know. Drinking, you know, out doing that kind of stuff. So it's like, okay,
shenanigans.
So hey, baby, I just messed around on you, but I'm okay if I give you a sandwich,
I got you a
right?
sandwich.
I got you a po' boy sandwich.
You don't have to make it for me this time.
You stole what I was going to say.
You don't have to make it for me this time? It's like, okay, so you're going to bring her an oyster sandwich and when you've already been out carousing? I think that's quite unfair, actually.
Unless shellfish are supposed to be romantic, though, right?
Shellfish are romantic?
Well
oysters,
they're an aphrodisiac.
Oysters are an aphrodisiac because they have a lot of zinc in them, which is supposed to elevate testosterone.
Duly noted.
I read a lot, and not just about that.
Very interested in oysters.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm from the Pacific Northwest. So we are going to take a quick break, and we are here at the Cuff Restaurant in downtown Glendale, and Jesse Gallegos is going to join us. And Sammy and I were wondering how we pronounced his last name. So, Emily, thank you so much for clarifying that.
I hope I got it right.
I was right.
I know he's probably right. Almost gone there. No. That's not how you say it at all. I'm just Jesse G. I've got some sort of a mule thing in front of me that I'm going to take a sip out of. And we will be right back. This is Heidi Lee. You are Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52. Lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee. And Emily just said something about it's easier to turn you down than it is to turn you up.
Story of my life. I say it with cilantro in my teeth.
I know. Okay, so
hey, boys.
I'm totally past my sandwiches because we have some empanadas. We've got a bacon-wrapped meatloaf with beet chips.
Those, yum.
And a smoked duck taco in lettuce wrap that's about ready to just, mm-hmm. like, end my day. Mm-hmm. Here at the Cuff Restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we have a mule of some sort, and we'll ask Chris about that in a minute. But we want to welcome Jesse Gallegos. Hi.
Hi. Good evening.
Get your mouth down there like I told you to.
Apologize. This is new to me.
Is it? Well, that's okay. So don't be nervous. But, you know, see how close mine is?
Yes.
See how close mine is? There you go.
Bring it in.
Perfect.
There. Now I can really hear you.
All right.
So you went to school at the Art Institute with Emily.
Correct. Some years ago. And she and I went through various classes together, working together. And lo and behold, you know, our paths crossed all over again. Here we mm-hmm. are.
Did you guys start and end together?
No. He was ahead of me in the program. And because I had some of my credits completed before going to culinary school, as far as my gen eds,
right.
They just stuck me like right into some culinary classes that were way over my head. So I was in like international cuisine or something, which is one of the more advanced classes, and I had no idea. I was fresh out of basics.
So. Oh, okay. So he helped you.
Mm-hmm.
So he was your culinary school mentor?
Basically, yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Did you see some talent in this young lady?
Oh, definitely.
You don't have to answer that.
No. As a chef, and even at that age in my career, you recognize talent and you recognize those that are willing to work hard for what they believe in and willing to put the effort in. And even at school, I mean, it's not about just reading the books, doing the stuff. It's the passion in their eyes, and that was very evident with Emily at a very early part in our relationship.
Oh, nice. She said you had a nice voice.
Sounds so deep.
He's really cool, and he has a really nice voice. And it's like, okay, we love nice voices. It's like, well, you know, I cook for a living. So did you cook before you went to culinary school?
I did. I got started at a very young age at my grandmother's hip back in El Paso, Texas. My grandfather and my grandmother did food trucks throughout El Paso, and every Saturday and Sunday there we were stirring the menudo up, grilling the burgers, and so it kind of grew for me at a young age and instilled something in me.
So you worked your butt off from the time that you were as high as your grandma's hip, basically.
Free labor, yeah.
It's like, yeah, guess what, baby? You don't get to go play on Saturday. You're going to come and help us work the food truck.
Correct. And you never questioned grandma or grandpa.
Of course you didn't, because they had a big stick. Okay, Chris Chang. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Who are you?
Chris Chang. I own Cuff in downtown Glendale.
Okay.
We were rated one of Phoenix's best new restaurants last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Woohoo.
Yeah. And our menu here is kind of Southwestern. So Jesse fits right in with us. And tonight we brought you...
Please tell everybody what... Because I tried all of them. You guys, is this like absolutely
this is
fantastic
delicious.
Food? Yeah.
We brought impressed. Our pozole, which we have a little Southwest twist on it. We take our smoked pork shoulder, and then we stuff them in some dumplings, and we lightly fry them, then we pour the pozole on it. So it's a much more hearty pozole that we got here.
It's more tomato-y than most pozoles that I've had, and I love tomatoes. So it's just like, yes.
Good to hear.
I got to try some
good
of that.
Good to hear. Yeah, you do.
And then we also have our Moscow Mule. We have a really nice cocktail selection here at Cuff. I pride myself on it a lot. So we house-infuse some fig-infused vodka, and then we use that in our Moscow Mule. And then we also do a splash of Aperol, which makes it much more refreshing.
What's Aperol?
It's a herbal liqueur.
Okay.
So it makes it really refreshing. And then we use a really, really spicy ginger beer, which it's got some refreshing.
I like it because I'm not a big Moscow Mule fan, but I can taste the spice in the ginger, which ups it for me quite a bit.
Yeah, it's like the ginger spice, you know, which is a very unique sweet kind of spice.
Yeah, it's really good. And so when you infuse with the fig, how do you, and you can jump in anytime, Jesse. What method do you use on the fig? Do you grill it? Do you roast it in order to pull that flavor? Or is it just raw?
It's just dried figs that we slice.
Dried figs. Okay.
Yeah. And we slice about, I think, 2 pounds. And we infuse it in with our Tito's vodka, which is also nice. It's from...
I love Tito's.
Yeah, Texas. That's great.
Texas. Yes. Yes. Samantha was born in Texas.
Oh, right on.
Dallas. She's a Dallas baby. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let me just jump in real quick and say, I walked into this restaurant probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago now, and the aesthetics of this place is just amazing.
It's so cool.
This is a historical building, correct, Chris?
Yeah, this is actually the longest running commercial building in Glendale. Wow. We actually have a picture of it when it was a general goods store. I think that's like actually in like 1890 when it was a general goods store. It's got a lot of great history here.
And are those actually tin? Is that a tin roof?
That's the original.
Is that a tin roof?
It's the original ceiling, yeah.
That is gold. Tin roof! Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's one of the first things that I saw when I walked in.
Yeah.
And I was like, if that's the original tin roof, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, we try to keep as much of the historic because, we're in historic downtown Glendale.
Right.
And we try to keep it as nice as possible. It's still really great.
So you and your partner, I'm sorry, David?
Yeah.
Okay. Why did you choose downtown Glendale?
My family's actually been in downtown Glendale for like over 100 years. So we're right here at 59th and Glendale. So on the other side of 59th is a grocery store called Gene's Modern Market. And Gene was my great-grandfather.
Really?
So,
cool.
My dad,
did you know that, Jesse?
I did not know that.
So we've been here for a long time. All my aunts and uncles went to Glendale High School. And
really?
We really believe in Glendale. My grandfather was a council member in the 1950s at some point. So we have a lot of history here, and I really believe in the downtown area.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's cool. So you're just like, you know, because this is a testing ground for new places. It's difficult to get to, but I'll tell you what, I live on the west side. And I'm like, can I please have some more mom and pops that have really good food here?
Well, we're right off the 60, which is Grand Avenue. And
right.
I think that this is a big up-and-coming area. You know, the city of Glendale just passed that the light rail is going to be built up to the Murphy Park here, which we're right
across
from.
Okay, that's going to be huge.
So
yep.
I think within the next 5-10 years, this is going to be the spot.
This is going to be the restaurant spot
for the west side.
I'd be so excited to see that.
I want to chime in. I don't think I know. I sit here in this restaurant, and I see the potential, and I see David Chang and Chris and how hard they work, and they're going to help build this, and I'm just proud and glad to be here.
So what are you doing here, Jesse? Do you have a position with it? Because I'm kind of confused. So we came in late on this, so pardon my ignorance. But
No problem. Essentially, like I said, I walked in here as a customer 4 or 5 weeks ago, sat down at the bar, had my food, had my drinks, and it just struck me. It struck me that this place was special. So I started talking with Chris and asking him, just how long you guys been here, what have you guys been up to, and, you know, he was definitely just as open as he was now. And I said, that's very interesting. And so David came next and asked me what I was up to. And he put me on the spot. And I said, well, currently at the time, I just got back from Houston, helped build a restaurant out there with my brother-in-law. But I'm back here in Glendale, Arizona. I'm working the farmer's markets. I'm looking for...
What are you selling at farmer's markets?
I'm selling baked goods. I've got granolas.
I'm selling baked goods. Okay.
No, just different items, and I'll come back to that farmer's market.
Okay.
But, you know, that right there, I just remembered Chris's next line, because I was talking to Chris when this happened. Chris looked at David and said, hey, this guy sells food. And, you know, the drop of a pin, David comes and says, hey, you want to help us out? You want to sell food with us? And I said, sure. How can I help, and what could I do? And so we've been in talks about doing a pop-up possibly here, because Cuff also has a location right next door called Off the Cuff Venue, correct?
It is so cool.
Right. Yeah.
I only saw pictures of it online, and we got here a little too late to go look at it before we were...
Well, we can give you a little tour a little later. Yeah.
It's like a speakeasy.
Yeah, we got a great kind of like hidden private dining room next door, and we're just itching to get a good chef in there to do a pop-up next door. To have his own little thing, or eventually we'd like to have live entertainment, have it be like a cocktail lounge.
I've got some really good people that I could introduce you to.
Please do. Yeah, we'd love to do like comedy. We've done bands. We've done a little bit of live theater in there.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a great little space. And, you know, we have a lot of these properties that we just want like more talented people to come in and bring attractions.
Populate them, bring people here.
Yeah, to bring them down to downtown Glendale.
Yeah. You know, because, I mean, people, you know, you get a lot of dissing crap for the West Side, but there's a lot of history here, you know, and it was a lot of farming and that kind of thing, but so was the East Side as well. But some of these older buildings like this one, and it's called the Lamp. What is it?
The one? Gaslight.
The Gaslight. Thank you very much. These are such charming places, and this is a Main Street community in Arizona, which is very hard to find. Very hard to find.
It's very charming.
It's also just a few miles down the road from Westgate and the stadium, where we have two sports teams. So, like, I definitely, like, we say we know this is the up-and-coming area. Because the East Side doesn't have any of the sports teams or all the attractions and whatnot. So.
True. Yeah.
Now, do you get a lot of traffic from that? Because I was thinking that as I drove in, I was like, hey, the Cardinals are good now. People actually go.
Yeah. During football season, we get a lot of them that come in here for happy hour.
Awesome.
The people who don't want to go to the like mega restaurants or a tailgate, they usually will stop in here.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And then we've even talked with like Uber, making this like an Uber hotspot to just like, you know, they could park downtown and then shoot down there. And
oh, that's cool.
Eventually, once the light rail gets here, I mean, like, it'll be...
It's just
going to
be insane.
Gonna be,
so
yeah,
when did you guys... When did you open?
We opened two Septembers ago.
About a year and a half ago. Okay, fantastic. Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
That's really cool. And I love the fact that you've got this history of being here with your family, all these generations. And your family's been here for 100 years.
Close to it.
And did they emigrate from?
With China.
From China. So. Well, I didn't want to assume but I kind of figured.
All right, Heidi.
Well, what? It's part
just
of the history of America.
Time.
Yeah, just, you know, give me crap. We just lost a girlfriend for that. Okay, so I don't know if we finished. So 4 or 5 weeks ago, so you were sitting here and you got hit on by David. You got hit on by Chris. And you're like, okay, yeah, now I'll go ahead and do it. And what are you doing?
Well, like I said, I explained to them that I was at the farmer's market, which I gladly want to boast and talk about the Glendale farmer's market, which just started up last Saturday, April 9th, I believe. I'm sorry if I'm
late.
Yeah, it's
the
9th,
yeah.
And the next one will be April 23rd, and you can find me there selling my baked goods. But more importantly, this is essentially the second runaround, and the potential that it has, the vendors that it brought, the community feel that it has, is just spectacular.
Where does it occur, and what time on Saturdays? Is it right across the street?
It happens right at First United Methodist Church on the corner of 59th Street and Glen. 59th
Ave.
Ave and Glen. Sorry, I mix those up a lot. And it happens every second and fourth Saturday of the month. The next one, like I said, is coming up April 23rd. We're going to run into June, and I think we take a break in July, but come back August.
Really?
We'll be here for the fall.
Fall farmers markets.
Fall farmers markets. Yes, yes.
Because you get all those root vegetables and pumpkins and squash
pumpkin
and all
everything.
That kind of fun stuff. Pumpkin everything. Okay. Are you a pumpkin person when it comes to pumpkin time? Because I'm not. I know.
Very much so. I mean, growing up in Mexico or growing up near the border, you have a lot of these candies that are just basically boiled down pumpkin in sugar, and it just is
boiled down pumpkin and sugar.
Yeah.
What?
So as a kid, you're looking at a paste, and they do guava, they do pumpkin, they do pineapple, and it's just this paste of sugar and fruit and jelly, and it's just awesome. So pumpkin was definitely.
Is it like a taffy?
Very close.
Okay.
It's like
I think I know what you're talking about.
Jelly
the common,
meets
like
tamarindo meets.
Had those.
Meets a bit of a paste. I can't remember the name of it right now.
But is
now,
it like when pumpkin season comes along, you're just longing for that, and you're
like
going, Grandma,
Jonesing.
Pumpkin empanadas, of course, are huge.
Oh, of course. I do a pumpkin empanada. As long as it has the sauce that's on your freaking meatloaf, because that is
so tender and bacony.
Awesome.
I'm like, how can I have some more of that? Sweet and savory, bring it on. Okay, this is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. We're going to be right back with Chris and Jesse. And I'm not going to remember everybody's last names because it's just too fast for me. Anyway, I love my job. You're here on KWSS 93.9. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Hey, you are back on Into the Soup with Heidi Lee, 93.9 KWSS. Our Soup of the Week is brought to you by Grey Tie Events. Culinary entertainment exclusively for women, prepared by men. Yeah, chew on that one for just a minute. Get the giggles out. So Grey Tie Events provides a unique dining experience for you and your friends. Invite your besties over, gather around the island, and prepare to be pampered. Their team of chefs were handpicked and had to audition. They bring the party to you and tailor the menu to your tastes. Their goal is for every client to leave a Grey Tie event feeling perfectly pampered and utterly adored. Visit greytieevents.com or call 602-738-2665. No male chefs were hurt in the making of this commercial. The use of Velcro, boomboxes, and inappropriate clientele fraternization are not allowed. Insured by the Hartford and a very large bouncer.
Nice job.
Am I getting better at
that? Yeah, you're getting good at the fine print. I see Jesse smiling over here. He's like, I want to make some granola for some ladies.
Grey Tie Events is actually my company, and we do have a very talented team of chefs. And more than just the ladies' nights, we can cater and accommodate just about any function. So, anyway.
I liked your use of the word besties.
I know, right? I think you put that in that copy. The besties. So our soup is direct from the kitchen of the Cuff Restaurant.
Yeah, it's our Cuff Pozole. It's got a little bit of Southwestern twist on it. We take our smoked pork shoulder, which is our pulled pork. We put it in some dumplings, and we fry it, and we serve that with the pozole. The pozole is served with hominy, cotija cheese on
cotija.
Top.
Cotija.
I was right. You did. I know.
I was all right.
and our fresh pico, which just has fresh local jalapenos, tomatoes, and onion, and a lime.
Nice. It's really very good. Yeah. It's very good. I didn't know it was a pozole. I was like, oh, that's an empanada. And then, you know, they had all the sauce in it. But it's, I imagine it's really cool. And you're going to give me the recipe, right?
It's stick to your ribs pozole.
It's stick to your ribs pozole. Which is the soup
that... with your besties.
Yeah. Oh, this isn't the hangover soup, although it could be. The hangover
menudo.
Soup is menudo.
Menudo, yeah.
And that's got
also
tripe.
A boy band.
Also
right?
a boy band.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but what
Ricky.
Does menudo mean? Oh, Ricky. Oh,
Ricky
man,
Martin.
He was so hot.
Shake your bum bum.
And the other one, I can't remember the name of it, and I don't want to because I'd probably start steaming up and I wouldn't be able to continue. What does menudo mean? Does it have a name, a meaning?
It's basically just the stew, the pork.
So basically, a band
tripe.
Called themselves Beef Tripe Soup?
Yes, yes. They were beefy.
You know who else was really big around that time was Caldo de Reyes.
It sounds like a bad English translation.
Yeah.
From some other language.
What?
Menudo.
Menudo.
Oh, like nude?
No, the beef dried soup sounds like as if they made that and they translated it incorrectly.
This is my going into Barrett honors student
She's
child
so
talking
smart.
To me.
She's just so smart.
I know, and she can drive. I've got my double D finally. My own house. I pay for her insurance and her car and all that kind of crap. So it really is a lovely pozole.
Yeah, it's great. It's very unique. And yeah, it's much more of a hearty pozole, like you were saying.
So you have a Chinese ancestry. Does David have one as well?
And
how did you guys like hook up?
David's my father.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're a family business.
Okay.
So my mother's family is from here. My dad is actually from India, but he's still Chinese.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then he came over when he was 17. He came to America. And then, my mother's family's here, so I grew up here.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you came in, and you're like, I'm going Southwestern.
yeah, essentially. I mean, I got to play to my strengths, right? I grew up in El Paso, Texas. I've seen some of the finest Mexican food. I've seen some of the best Texas food. And growing up in the desert, it brands you and burns, puts taste buds that can handle any jalapeno, serrano, habanero.
Hey there, boys and girls, Emily here. At this point in the show, Heidi's mic started acting up very strangely. I blame the condensation from the frosty Moscow Mule she was sipping on, but whatever the reason, we had to take a quick break to troubleshoot. Stay tuned.
What were we talking about? We were talking about you living in the desert, getting branded not only by chili peppers, but also by the sun and probably your grandmother who had a bat.
Yes.
Did she believe in capital punishment when you were a kid? I mean, did you get smacked around a little bit?
Very much so. My more importantly, my grandfather, being the chef, the entrepreneur that he was, he didn't have time for children to be messing around. You got to work or you got spanked by grandma. He couldn't handle that. He would dictate that as a great leader as he was.
As a great leader?
Yeah.
Do you think that was a big part of your, you know, the fact that you are well-directed and successful? And
definitely. I mean, you got to give it to the elders that you grow up around because they instill so much character, love, lessons into you as a child, and that carries on to your adulthood and so on and so forth, and you just kind of hone in on them. As you grow.
My father took a piece of wood and drilled holes in it, made it look like a big paddle and drilled holes in it so that after you got whooped, your butt looked like Swiss cheese.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was creative.
Did you get whooped, Chris?
No.
No?
I have the benefit of being bigger than my father.
He had those new agey parents.
Yeah.
Sammy, you never got whooped, did you?
I mean, not physically.
Okay, we're not even going to go there. We know how
40 tongue lashing.
We know how diabolical I've been as a parent, so we don't even have to talk about that. Did you, Emily, did you get spanked?
No.
No?
My parents whooped us one good time. That was like their idea, because they didn't do the regular spanking, but we were so scared after that first time of just being whooped that we behaved. We fell in line.
Okay. Yep. You and your brother?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
You went to a wedding, didn't you?
I did over the weekend.
And didn't like someone like not let the cat out and it like crapped all over your
bed? It
did. Yep.
That was really fun.
See, this is the tangents I was talking about.
I was like, we are on a roller coaster of tangents right now.
That's fine.
But yeah, absolutely. Came home and the cat had just used my bed as a litter box.
Oh.
Spent a good hour shampooing my mattress this weekend.
You have a mattress shampooer? At home?
My hand and a sponge and some upholstery cleaner. Yeah, the good old elbow grease that we learned in culinary school.
Again, you always will learn that you're the last one to walk out the door and check and make sure that the cat is capable of going where it needs to go.
Going forward, that's going to be what happens.
Yeah, you know, you do what you need to do. So I want to talk about your food, Jesse, for a bit.
Sure.
Because meatloaf. Okay, the bacon, I can tell. Did you smoke that yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a Texas in me.
What is in your meatloaf?
Oh.
So good. It's a
recipe that a buddy of mine have been working on for some years now, and we definitely feel strong about it. Chef Nick and I, We took meatloaf and we said, you know what, we're not going to make meatloaf. We're going to make something that we feel magical about. you know, so we definitely start with a lot of love. And then
I think you should call it that, magical meatloaf.
and we start with a lot of love, and then we bake and wrap it. Then we take the time to slow smoke it over pecan wood.
Specifically,
yes, that's a Texas product. And I did, growing up in El Paso, your backyard is filled with pecan trees. So that was a big influence growing up. So I will never change that.
I didn't know pecans were in El Paso.
Yeah.
Yep. Just 20, 30 minutes outside of El Paso and you're in farms for days.
Now in your baking shindig that you do on the side, do you have a name for your business yet? Or do we need to help you with that?
yeah.
I'm definitely
open for ideas. But I just go out there, Chef Lego, because a lot of people do have a trouble with my last name, Gallegos. I've heard Gallegos, Galagos. I've heard Galapagos.
They just get real creative with it then.
They do. So I figured let's just get rid of the first GA and you know, build off of that. And Chef Lego, I'd love to say that I build good plates and good food. So that's what I go by when I'm at the farmer's market. Chef Lego. Chef Lego baked products. And like I said, you'll see that at the Glendale Farmers Market.
So like a snap together puzzle piece.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
So what was your latest spread? What did you have?
I did a spread of fudges. I did orange.
Yes, she's having way too much fun.
No. I had just come back from Houston, and fudge was huge there. I mean, it's such a southern thing. And I thought, well, let's just take it up a notch. And so I did an orange creamsicle fudge. I did a Rocky Road fudge with graham crackers and walnuts and marshmallows on top. I did your classic turtle fudge, your classic fudge. I did a white chocolate and raspberry fudge. I just took what I knew how to do with fudge and elevated as best as I could. And it sold very, very well, actually. That was actually at the Estrella Parkway Farmers Market about 3 weeks ago now.
I'm embarrassed to say that I always come out with grainy fudge. I can't make fudge to save my life. I always fudge it up. It's horrible.
Oh. See, this is where Sammy's coming in. Do you cook, Chris?
No, I mainly just run the front of the house, do the bar scene, bartender, whatnot.
So when you go home, are you married?
No.
Okay. So when you go home and eat, what do you eat? Or do you just take food?
Well,
he has
a little friend called Chef Mike, I'm sure.
I mostly just eat here, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing about running a restaurant. That's what I miss mostly is for 4 years in Tucson, I didn't buy groceries. Nope. I just had a bare refrigerator, just brought food home.
Wow. I haven't had a bare refrigerator.
But actually, we were so excited to talk to Jesse because we have like kind of the barbecue staples here at Cuff. We got ribs, we got brisket, we got pulled pork, like the basic three.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm trying to elevate our barbecue game, and that's what we originally had actually started talking about. But, like I said, I'm not a chef. So instead of, like, me trying to relearn everything, I'd rather, like, talk to somebody who knows what they're doing. So that's what we originally had started talking about.
Okay. And so are you now working here as the chef, or what do you – I'm still a little bit confused.
No. Sorry. My full-time job is in healthcare. I've taken on the farmer's market as well. This is a very – you guys are catching us in a very, very early stages of our relationship.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We're kind of just still in talks now.
Yes.
And then we want to kind of see, like, if, like, the pop-up will work out, if, you know, we can start building a name for him, building a name for the pop-up, and everything like that.
I have a mouthful, Em. Take it.
Well, that's pretty interesting. So they just—you're just allowed to come into the kitchen and just do whatever you want to, just play back there.
I wouldn't say just play. I mean, I've come to these guys with the utmost respect. I've walked with my little backpack here because I only live a couple streets away with my little backpack. For me, it's always about proving yourself. And not just to them, but to me. You know, I got no problem proving myself in that sense. You know, I stood there by the smoker 14 hours, made sure that those ribs were the best product I could bring, and then I loaded them up in my backpack, walked down here.
I loaded them up in my backpack.
Gave some samples to Chris and to
David. All the feral cats were following you down the street. That'd be a problem in Mesa.
Yes, we've heard.
Holler to the stray cats. So
well, that's really what you need to let us know.
Put in the time.
When you decide to put that pop-up together, because we'd be really happy to support you and, you know, promote it out there for you and all that kind of fun stuff. As long as we get tickets.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. me and Em get to come. Oh, but, you know, Sammy's just going to have to sit in the car. We'll bring her leftovers because she'll be the double D that's driving both of us down here. So when you moved from El Paso, did you move from El Paso to Phoenix to go to the Art Institute?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, because I knew at the time that I was passionate about food and I was passionate about the culinary scene. No, because I didn't know I was going to end up at the Art Institute. I mean, you've got a bunch of great schools here in the Valley. You've got ACI, you've got Le Cordon Bleu for a short time. You've got you've got the community programs at Glendale. You've got the Scottsdale. You've got, of course, AI. And that's why I say no, because I was indecisive as far as which school to choose at the time. But I did know culinary was going to be my calling.
Because you were working, and I found that impressive because I hadn't started a kitchen job at that point. And you were working for a pretty high-end, was it Lawns?
Yes.
You were working at Lawns when you went to AI?
Under Chef Fusconi. And I gladly...
Oh, he's so cool.
This guy was basically kicking everybody's butt in classes already. And
can I ask? He's like...
how old would you say?
How old do you think I am?
27.
27. Hey, that's pretty good. I'm actually 29. I'll be 30 this year.
Oh,
or the first anniversary of your 29th birthday. That's what I'm calling mine.
Is that what you're going to call yours?
Yeah.
I just absorbed it. Yeah, I'm 30. Check this out.
Well, that's awesome.
Okay, so Chris, tell us a little bit more about you and your dad. And when you guys first started here, where did you come up with the menu? Did you hire a chef to develop the menu for you? Okay, and how'd you do that?
Well, it's actually a pretty funny story.
Really? So, we love funny stories. Yeah.
So actually, it was like through our mechanic. He said, it's a really like three different separations to get to the chef.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our mechanics clients was a chef that, you know, wanted to open a restaurant, and my father had, we've developed these buildings. We've restored these historical buildings into restaurants, and we just want talented cooks in here. So our mechanic had told us, hey, there's a chef. He's looking for a job. But we really wanted someone to – oh, am I not close enough?
Yeah, I was making really phallic gestures at you.
I wasn't looking at you. I was keeping my eye contact. Sorry. Anyway, so he wanted his own restaurant, but he – didn't know much about running a full restaurant and everything, and my father and I have a lot of experience in the front of the house.
Okay.
So anyway, he came to us, but he didn't quite have his whole menu fleshed out. So actually, his wife worked with the wife of the head chef at Eddie V's, and last year Eddie V's was actually bought out by Olive Garden.
Okay.
So he took the buyout and he left.
Whoa.
And then he came aboard and worked with us and made his menu. And it was always the idea that he was going to take over, but then he ended up adopting a son last December, and then he decided he wanted to move home to Atlanta and raise his kid.
Wow.
So, but it was no hard feelings. He taught our sous chefs everything, all his recipes. So he actually crafted the menu.
Cool.
And I've been running the front of the house since last December.
Okay.
And we're always looking for more talented cooks in the kitchen.
Okay, well, I think we can probably help you with that a little bit, because I know a lot of talented cooks that are looking for jobs.
We'll send them down.
Yeah? Okay. It's actually a really neat menu.
Yeah.
It's not huge. I don't have one in front of me, but I did look at one online.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not gigantic, but it's big enough to give people, like, a variety. Mm-hmm. So you have a choice. So you've got, give me the basics, because I'm forgetting, but I know you've got...
What's your best, what's your best dish? What's your favorite?
I mean, I usually recommend, like the soup, the pozole, or our shrimp and grits is really, really great.
Yes, please.
Yeah, we have...
I love shrimp and grits.
We put a poached egg on top of our shrimp and grits, and then the yolk mixes in with the grits, and it makes it so, so delicious. And our shrimp is fantastic. Yeah. I don't think you can get any better in the city, really. So I think our shrimp and grits is the best, and our pozole.
All right. And then you have sandwiches and salads and all that kind of stuff, too, right?
Yeah. Do you do a brunch?
We're actually working towards our brunch. which we eventually want to launch on Saturdays. And we're thinking about... Yeah, because we're not open on Sundays. But Mother's Day is on a Sunday, and we're actually working towards launching it on that Sunday.
Ooh, that's a scary thing to do. Done that.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool that you're not here on Sundays.
Yeah.
So are you closed on Sunday?
Yeah, we're closed on Sunday.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. Are you open Monday, though?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
We're just closed one day a week.
Nobody's closed on Sundays. I think it's really cool that you're closed on Sundays. I think it's great. Did you guys ever look at the bottom line of the fact that you're closed on Sundays, what you might lose, what might do? Or did you say, you know what, forget it, we want to do this for our family? Because I'm assuming that's why.
We used to be open on Sundays. And before, like, the recession, we did have a big church coming and everything like that. Because before this, we ran another restaurant in this downtown Glendale area. But then, you know, it becomes a problem where, like, you know, because you tell your workers, like, oh, you know, you get one day off a week. Yada, yada. But, like, you can't take care of business on Sundays and, like,
right.
Sunday, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm going backwards.
That's okay.
So anyway.
Well, I go backwards all the time. Trust me. You're in good company.
So we took a Sunday so people can see their family and everything like that. So it's not just, like, a business day, basically, for them still, because they don't get to have a break.
Right. Cool. Yeah.
I think that's bold, and it's also really, it creates a loyalty among your workers to know that they're going to have that guaranteed day off and relaxing. But, I mean, obviously, for business, it's different. It's risky.
Well, yeah, this downtown area, I mean, eventually we'd like to open up all the days if, you know, it gets busy enough, but... Yeah, it's kind of quiet down here on Sunday because we get a lot of business from the city of Glendale because we're right across the city of Glendale.
Oh, that makes sense.
And
a lot of workers. So, I mean, Saturdays are still good, but, yeah, Sundays, you know.
Right on.
Keep Glendale historic.
Once that light rail rolls in, though, man.
That's how historically, you know, cities were run. Mm-hmm. You know, close down on Sundays.
Yeah.
Well,
spend
it
with your family.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
I'm advocating a siesta.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For the statewide?
Statewide.
So at 2 o'clock, everybody goes home, has something to drink, passes out.
We don't change for daylight savings, so let's just mix it up even more with our siesta.
I think it's a great idea.
Close it down. Shut it down.
Shut it down. Everybody goes home, except for most people live at least 45 minutes from home. It's not like you're walking down the street to your house unless you live in
hotel
downtown.
Planning ahead.
I was just going to say
It'll be great.
There are hourly hotels in Japan. I feel like we can make that happen.
Yeah, we probably could. You know, have a little snack, have some nookie, a couple glasses of wine, take a nap, turn around, 5 o'clock, go work till 8.
Reboot.
Reboot. 8 o'clock, hit the restaurants. So how late are you guys open during the week?
On the weekdays, we're open till 9 p.m., and then on the weekends, we're open till 10.
All right, cool.
And then, like, the goal is that eventually the venue will kick off, and we'll start having entertainment at night, and then we'll be open till, you know,
have some shows over there.
Yeah. Right, that is so, it is such a neat space. I mean, just looking at it online, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's a off-the-cuff venue.
That's really cool. That's really cool. I think, how many people can you seat in there for a seated dinner?
I would say comfortably.
For
the
pop-up. Excuse me, for the pop-up.
Yeah.
We
have a full stage up there, and if you're not using the stage, I think you can completely fit 60 to 80. So, like,
as a sit-down.
Yeah, so last weekend we had a party, I think, of 70 in there. And, yeah, they're more than comfortable. I think it was actually some, like, conference from Westgate. They sent all the guys down here.
Not as fun.
Yeah. No, not nearly as fun. And the ball gowns certainly weren't as pretty. I'm sure of it.
So did we discuss, like, how I love off the cuff, right? And I was trying to work that into the show, be real clever with it. But you got
failed.
That. You took that over for me.
Sorry.
How did you come up with the name of this restaurant, or the cuff, or how did you?
Well, we've always had both spaces when we were, like, trying to come up with names for both.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we just liked cuff and off the cuff. And cuff is kind of like you roll up your sleeves and it's, like, after work. So, like, it's a semi-professional kind of bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were going for. And then it's actually funny. I always look up different, like, we like to make our own liqueurs here and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Southern Comfort is actually a liqueur. And the drink you make with it is actually called cuff and buttons or something like that.
Oh.
So it's like it's got something with, like, you know, bartenders, especially nowadays with mixologists wearing, like, the vests and everything like that. It has this, like, imagery of, like, a nicer cocktail kind of
program. Except for, like, the 800 tats they've got. It's like, You look at all these guys in Arizona Cocktail Week, and it's like, does every bartender require to have a tattoo? Not that I'm against them. It's, man, these are pervasive.
It's part of the lifestyle.
Yeah. Is it? Are you tatted up over there, Jesse?
Hip. No, actually. I've got
up
none
to the
yet.
Neck.
Yeah, it's like
Chris,
the free.
You
no,
got any?
Okay.
Wow, tat-free in a whole bar. Anybody over there at the bar tatted up?
Yeah, my other waitress has got all
yeah?
the tats.
All right,
show
up.
Show up.
All right, come on, pull up the shirt.
I'm actually completely tatted underneath this dress. It's like a bathing suit of tattoo.
So instead
it's
of a
below
a,
the shoulder,
very
it's,
above
a,
the
it's not a sleeve tat. It's a torso tat.
Torso tat
you got
all the
torso
way.
Tat yep. going on. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was gonna get one once.
What were you gonna get?
Oh, just some dumb. You know, like from
a dolphin?
Friends. No, probably a butterfly.
A butterfly? A
yeah.
tramp stamp butterfly?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought, no, because, yeah, it, you know, it's going to sag and then it's going to look like a, like some sort
a pterodactyl
of a lizard. Yeah. No, really short arms. Like, yeah. So I decided against it. And plus, considering the area that I was going to put it on, it was just not going to be pretty. That was 15 years ago when Sammy was 2. Like, yeah, I'm not going to go ahead and get that. Did you ever consider getting a tattoo?
Oh, yeah. I think, but, like, you got to go, like, all or nothing. You got to have, like, all tattoos. You can't just have one.
No. Oh, like, really? You can't just have one.
That's why I went with the body wrap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you get tattoos, you got to have, like, all your legs, all your arms, all your back.
Because mm-hmm. otherwise so. You're like, what, look on like a wuss? It's like if you
know.
Just
yeah.
get one.
It looks
like
it was a dare, you know?
Oh,
yeah. You got to like
okay.
plan it
then
out.
I'm glad I didn't get
that's
one.
That's a good point.
It's a yeah. That's a really good point.
You know?
Did you
like,
ever?
Like a Friday the 13th tattoo or something, you know? I want somebody to, like if you don't know that, in tattoo shops on Friday the 13th, they usually give out like cheap tattoos.
They do?
Yeah, that's
wow.
like a thing. Yeah.
Why?
Usually it's like $20 tattoos or something. Because it's like rarely happens. It's like something special.
Oh, okay.
That's really interesting.
Do you have any tattoo stories, Jesse Gallegos? Mr. Lego?
No, I have been playing around with the idea, though. And just because I'm so passionate about food, I love the idea. And I am going to be working on that tattoo, my first tattoo. But it will probably lead into more. But I love the idea of it saying create art and an emphasis on eat and art. Because that is very passionate. That is very significant to me. Because if there's anything I do is I stare at plates and I stare at food, and I see art and I see edible items that my friends and my patrons and the ones that I love can come and enjoy. So that will be my first tattoo. I won't say when that's going to happen, and it won't be a dare. It's all it's all.
You're just going to walk in there all bald faced, going,
yeah,
"Give
yeah.
me this."
Yeah. Wear my heart on my sleeve.
Well, once you get it, Jesse, you can send it to us. We'll post it on intothesoup.com.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. We haven't done any of the intothesoup.com.
No singing today.
So are we going to go off here for just a minute because we have got the fourth segment?
Yep.
So are we tuning out now?
We can just tune out. I want to grab a cocktail and
oh, yeah, me too.
Enjoy
yeah.
the space.
I think we should do that. And
you guys
want to
see the space in the break?
Yeah. That'd
sure,
be really
sure,
cool.
Sure.
Okay, so we will do that. So you are Into the Soup with Heidi Lee, my rockin' radio redhead, Emily King. We are at the Cuff Restaurant in downtown Glendale with Mr. Gallegos. I had to do something because that sounded like it. Dumbass. Oops, you're going to have to edit that one, too. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. You're Into the Soup. This is Heidi Lee. Hey, this is Heidi Lee. Welcome back to Into the Soup. We are running out of time because we just had so much fun talking about all sorts of tangential things, food and otherwise, speakeasies and different venues. We just went over to the speakeasy, if you will, the Off the Cuff. Beautiful, beautiful venue, and you guys got to check this out, and we'll go ahead and have Chris talk about that really quickly. I wanted to announce April 29th, Pino's Palette Fundraiser for the Joy Bus Diner for Jennifer Caraway. Tickets are $45. Painting with Pino. You can bring your own booze. They're going to have some snacks. And yours truly will be there, and maybe you can come with me, Em.
Wow, I love painting with wine.
I know, right? Well, the last time I did it, it was not attractive.
Mostly with whites.
Mostly with whites? Yeah, me too. And you can find all of that on
IntoTheSoup.com.
Sorry, we didn't introduce you guys to that. So anyway, I wanted to say thank you so much to Jesse Gallegos, Mr. Lego.
And if you have any deep, like, existential kind of thoughts to share with us, this is the time.
Just before you go, because you have to do it, you have like 5 seconds ready. Go!
Watch out for Glendale.
Watch out. Awesome. Hey, I like him. Awesome. Okay, you want to pass your mic over to Chris?
Yep.
We had some technical difficulties. So Chris Chang of the Cuff Restaurant.
Yeah.
Dude, killer.
Thank you.
Really neat. Atmosphere, venue, great bar, great building. I think it's really neat that you're keeping it real and keeping it in Glendale.
Yeah, we're open 6 days a week. We have happy hour every day. That includes Saturday from 3 to 6. Happy hour. All our cocktails are $2 off. Our burger's $3 off. Our wings are only $5. I don't know why everybody's not coming in here.
Well, and we'll do our best to make sure that
they
do.
And then, we have a beautiful venue, off-the-cuff venue. It has a full sound stage. We can seat between 60 to 100 people in there. And, yeah, come visit us in downtown Glendale.
All right. We'll make sure that people know. Samantha Lee, my gorgeous daughter, say goodnight.
Good night.
You ready to drive me home?
I mean, if I have to.
Well, you don't, but, you know, it's a no-tolerance joint here in Arizona. And I have a light out on my car.
Oh.
And my tabs aren't legal either, so it's just like I'm raising my hand going, Bob, pull me over.
Oh my God.
Okay, so yet again, thank you guys so very much for hosting us and for all the great food and the drinks, and that was fantastic. Emily King, thank you, my dear.
Oh, my pleasure, as always.
We have no idea who's coming on next week because that's just the way we roll, so we'll keep you posted. And take care of each other, take care of yourself. This is Heidi Lee, you're Into the Soup. Peace out. Thank you.